Prep Sports Now. We're back for another week. I'm Case Kiefer, joined as always by Ray Brewer. Ray, a lot to discuss this week. Some big games coming up this week, some big games last week. But in my opinion, you knew I was going to go here. I get some bragging rights from last week. Coronado 25, Shadow Ridge 21. My Cougars come through in a what was a very interesting game in the end.
Yeah, congratulations. And first of all, welcome back, because last week Grimala subbed in and he was great. He borrowed $5 from your $5 bankroll for the Arbor Foothill game that ended up getting canceled. So you didn't lose any money, but there, a few coaches said they missed you. So that was good.
Oh, man, I'm glad he didn't lose me any more money. I think we haven't really been keeping track, but I got to be down probably 10 bucks at this point. I've had a couple wins, but there was that one week where we went double, and I think you won both. So it hasn't been the best year for me.
Yes, yes. But you're right. Probably the game of the night in the 4A, game of the night altogether last week was the Coronado come-from-behind victory against Shadow Ridge. A lot happened there. Coronado down 11 points in the second half. There's a 30- to 40-minute game delay because one of the, I guess, is it a bay of lights? I don't know if that's the correct term, but a bay of lights went out at Coronado. And during the break, the Cougars must have had some Gatorade or a power bar or whatever it is, but they come storming back. Passing game got going with Josh Andrade slinging it around to Jalen Garrison. Two touchdowns, 160 yards for Garrison. And a big win for the Cougars, because I think we've kind of said all year, Case, that the 4A, we've got Silverado. We'll talk about them later, but they're the leaders in the clubhouse. They may be the only team in the clubhouse. And then who's going to challenge them locally? I've been on that Shadow bandwagon all year. And now Coronado, which kind of fell apart against Green Valley and Silverado in back-to-back weeks, I don't know where Coronado fits in this conversation.
I've been adamant. Well, from day one, I think I said they should be the favorite, which obviously shouldn't be the thing. I think Silverado is the clear favorite, but I adjusted and said they are as good as the number two, and I'm sticking with that. I still think this team is, you know, at their best, as good as anyone. Maybe they just need a break every game. I loved your they must have had a Gatorade or a power bar. I don't know if you're still titling the episodes, but Gatorade or Power Bar should be the title of this one. But, you know, they throw the ball a lot, so they might be a little more volatile than some other teams. They're going to have some good nights and some bad nights. But I think that when they're at their best, Coronado, I know I'm being a homer because I've liked them all year, but they're the team I'd be most worried about.
Yeah, they do have two legit Division I players on the team, and the D-end, Ike Nakani, I think is how you say it. Does that seem about right?
Close enough. I don't have the name in front of me, but you gave it a good try, I could tell.
So, and I tell you what, even looking at the kid's picture on the site intimidates me, because he's a healthy glass of water. So they definitely have a legit D-1 defensive lineman. And then, of course, they've got the offensive lineman, Noah McKinney, who is committed to UNLV, on the 27th of September. So Coronado's got two legit D1 guys. And you always think in the 4A, you've got to – if you're good up front, that's probably half the battle, because remember, the 4A are for teams that aren't as strong and powerful or have as many numbers. So if you've got two guys that you could throw out there that push people around, then – you know, that's a good starting base.
Yeah, and Shadow Ridge was it's still right there. I mean, like you said, there are some interesting circumstances in this game. They still only lose by four. If they were to play again, I mean, it could go either way. So, not to discount Shadow Ridge, they're still in the conversation. I just think if you're asking me to power rate the 4A right now, it's one Silverado, two Coronado, and then Shadow Ridge play slots in over there. But I know Vegas has done good things as well. It's been a fun league even as the year progresses.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you mentioned Vegas, because 2 weeks ago they beat basically on a missed field goal at the buzzer, a short missed field goal, and a missed extra point, actually. So it was 28-27. And then this past Friday they got they got destroyed by Desert Pines. Not the end of the world because 5A versus 4A, but so I really don't know where exactly Las Vegas fits in. And I still think basic, they lost in double overtime to Durango, but their quarterback didn't play. I mean, basic, I think still if they could squeeze in, who knows what could happen. And we haven't mentioned Clark that's only lost one game.
Yeah, maybe, you know, we got a little too much down on Clark from that one blowout loss to Vegas, but I know they had some guys hurt. I think Coach might have missed the game. So it was and that was another one where there were some weird circumstances. I want to go back to – and Durango's been tough too, but I want to go back to that game for just a second. It went to double overtime and it was only 12-6. How's that even pop? Was there no scoring in regulation?
It was 6-0. Durango's driving down the field with about 3 or 4 minutes to play. They're, say, in the red zone, and they throw just an awful pick. The basic kid takes it almost all the way through and then gets stopped. Basic scores a touchdown, 15-yard celebration penalty, pushes the extra point back. The kid missed the extra point. Oh. In overtime, both teams missed a field goal, and then Durango won.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know how you arrived at an 18-point total in double overtime, especially for Basic, who usually puts up some points.
What a game
there.
No quarterback. That's what got them. Their quarterback wasn't there.
Yeah. I guess while we're at the 4A, before we move on, the only other team that might be in the conversation a little bit that we haven't spoken about, maybe there's two, but the one that stands out is Desert Oasis is 6-1. They went again on Friday night. And I know Sierra Vista, their record doesn't look that good, but they've won two in a row now. And Desert Oasis beat Cimarron, so they beat an upper-tier opponent, a 5A opponent, 24-12. I know they have a quarterback who can sling it around. What do you think of those two teams?
Yeah, the stout kid has been the 4A is – first of all, two steps back. When we talk about all these teams, because of COVID and because of teams losing key players seemingly, you know, at the last hour before a game, I think when you try to say, okay, this team beat that team and that team beat that team, doesn't always work because you don't know – which player was on the field that day. But Desert Oasis, for me, they're like 3-0, 4-0, and then they go to Shadow. And Shadow basically beats them by a running clock. Yeah. And, Dio's entire game plan is to, you know, throw the ball with Stout, and the guy's passed for a few thousand yards literally and some ungodly amount of touchdowns. He had 7 touchdowns in one game. But they're bad on the line, and Shadow was able to get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And so there I kind of wrote Desert Oasis off right after that game. I'm like, okay, well, you don't lose by a running clock to a team that lost to the team that's supposed to win state, right?
Right.
So now I've kind of written them off, and I also had written off Sierra because they were 0-5 or 0-6, but – somebody barely beat them, and they were like, hey, Sierra's really good. You got to be watch out for them. And then what do you know, the next 2 weeks Sierra wins, and it's another situation where they got a lot of sophomores playing, a lot of juniors, had an injury, had some kids out for COVID. Remember, a lot of these schools missed some of their team for the initial 3 weeks because of the ineligibility brought on by the pandemic. And you know, so we're sitting here talking about teams that on any given day, we don't know who the 11 guys are going to be out there. You know, even like the Liberties of the world have had to play their backup quarterback or called up their entire, like literally Liberty's JV team case basically beat Faith Lutheran. It was like Jeremy Bernard and the JV team against Faith Lutheran.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something we have to navigate, and it has been interesting. I do say, since I gave you credit for your attempt on the Coronado kid's name earlier, I do got to say, we got to give the Desert Oasis kid some proper love. It's Tyler Stott, not Stout. But
oh, okay.
You know, I got to hold you to account on the pronunciations. No you there, but he's
we were in the newsroom earlier, and our new reporter, Jessica, she's working on a story about whatever, the border regions. And I brought up an example about Lisa Levine, and Anderson was right by, and Anderson's like, Levine! And I'm like, sorry, Jessica, I'm not good on last names. You'll learn that.
Yeah, well, at least I did it a little softer than he did. But yeah, I think that the Tyler Stock hit has been, I know we mention him every week, but that's because he's deserved it. Great year, and it continued this week. I guess we'll move up to the 5A from there. And I know this is one of your favorite talking points right now, and it really sets up well based on the scores on Friday. Silverado won 58-0 over Cheyenne, and Gorman won 62-0 over Legacy, I believe, just about the same margin of victory. Which team has been more dominant, and which team is going to cruise to a respective state championship easier? I think it would have been crazy to say at the beginning of the year, but I think you could almost make a case for Silverado at this point.
Yeah, I say with the exception of – well, I think – let me answer the back into your question first, right? Okay, so both – so Silverado is 7-0 and Gorman is 7-1. I think Gorman – cruises to a state championship with less resistance than Silverado. I think Silverado could still get a game from Shadow Ridge and maybe even Coronado, where I think Gorman running clocks pretty much everybody. And I know the people at Liberty are going to be like, come on, we're the defending state champs, what gives? But I think Gorman is going to be very zeroed in that week and ready to go. But even in Liberty's – so I think Gorman – I think Gorman on both, because even in Liberty's great record, they gave up 29 against Shadow Ridge, 150-29, took a while to pull away from Coronado in a 32-14 victory. Now they've completely rolled in the last 3 weeks, right? 65-6, 56-12, 58-0. But I do think that both Silverado and Gorman are the best teams in the 4A and 5A respectively. I think Gorman has been more impressive only because I think against local opponents, they haven't even given up a point yet. And I think both are going to win the state championship. It's just, yeah, Gorman hasn't given up a point in the last 3 weeks. So they've outscored local opponents 165-0.
Yeah, that was going to be my counterpoint, actually. It's like, yeah, Liberty might have had some bumps early in the year, but we know they had some guys out, too. They have been just electric the last 3 weeks. They beat Green Valley 43-6. Desert Pines coming up next, not this week, but next week, I believe, in a big game. But I don't know. I like what I've seen from the Patriots lately, and I'm not ready to just you know, hey, they beat the Gales last time. They've earned my respect. That's still a game I'm looking forward to, and I'm not ready just to write Gorman in.
What would you make the line in that game right Ooh. Now? And then let me ask you this. In 2019, what would you have made the line?
Well, I think we had that conversation in 2019, didn't we? I think it was somewhere in the range of, like, 3 touchdowns.
Maybe. Yeah, I think we did. Now, you got to remember, 2020 Gorman thought they were going to beat – I mean, 2020 Liberty thought they were going to beat Gorman.
Yeah.
They're firmly convinced their best team was 2020. They were going to be back-to-back.
Yeah.
So, I obviously, Liberty's not as good up front as they were in 19, where they literally dominated Gorman in the trenches, and how they would have been in, you know, 2020. Obviously, they lose – you know, Mo to Oregon, their quarterback, Daniel Britt, went to Montana. They had, you know, another kid, I think, went to Washington. So they lost like 5 legit D1 guys. But here we are, 2021, for all intents and purposes, all roads lead to the rematch. It's going to be as hyped as any game we've talked about on the show or in town. How many points do you think Gorman's favored by?
I think maybe somewhere from – Like 15 or 16.
That many? That few?
Yeah, that's – I was thinking less than 17, but more than 2 touchdowns.
Boy, I was in the 20s and not just the early 20s.
Oh, okay.
The low 20s, yeah.
Maybe I'm too low on Gorman or too high on Liberty. I don't know. I mean, Gorman is beatable. We saw is the Chandler team that beat Gorman – I know there were crazy circumstances. Is that team considered – a level above Liberty?
I mean, I think they're all national brands for whatever that's worth. It was Hamilton High of Chandler, right?
Chandler's who beat Gorman. And I know they might not have their best team right now either, because their quarterback from last year is starting at UCF with Dylan Gabriel down. So they might be in a situation similar to Liberty. And I know it took the craziest ending we've ever seen, but they still beat Gorman. So, and they weren't getting blown out to be, I mean, they were losing by what, like 17, and then they came back in the final 90 seconds. So I don't know. Why not Liberty is my, I've seen it happen now. And, I'm going to be hyping this game up and say they can do it again. Maybe I will be embarrassed and fall on my face, but that's how I see it.
I mean, I do think, and obviously we're going to talk about this in a few weeks when we do get the game, but I do think the element of surprise did help out for Liberty, because I think Gorman was just like, you know, I do think there was this mindset in the Gorman program that once they got through the gauntlet of their national schedule, that the rest of the way was just like some exhibition against, you know, sub-tier Las Vegas schools to win a state championship. And because they hadn't been challenged in so many years, maybe they were a little bit surprised. They overlooked Gorman, and I mean, they overlooked Liberty, and by the time they realized they had to rally, they just couldn't.
Yeah, that's possible. And I know they had some injuries too. So I don't know. We'll see. The great thing is almost – you got to think almost for sure this game's going to happen, right? We're going to get to see it.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that stands in the way is, you know, Desert Pines, who lost to Green Valley and who's really young and who has a bunch of underdeveloped kids on the line because they're only 14 and 15, somehow shocking a Liberty or a Gorman. Now, don't get me wrong. DP also has Javonte Barnes and Lamont Brown and Ray J. Kadasi and the Solomon brothers at wide receiver and a lot of Jimmys and Joes. They even got a kid who kicked like a 48-yard field goal last week. But it would have to take a very special night, because I think a Liberty or a Gorman could just get in power eye and just rock and roll up the field.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. Desert Pines did win 38-0 against Las Vegas last week. So the Jaguars are on track as well.
Exactly. Very good. Very
this
good.
This has sent me down a rabbit hole. I don't know. You must have never told me. I somehow missed that from that famous 2019 game, Micah Bowen's now at Oklahoma.
Yeah, he transferred from Penn State to Oklahoma.
Looks like he has an NIL deal with a Wayne company. I was just it piqued my interest when we were talking about that game, because watching Penn State on Saturday, I mean, the kid that was the backup quarterback just could not complete a pass. I was thinking, man, why wasn't Bowens in there? But it makes sense now he's gone. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. The NIL thing is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It's, sorry to bring us so far off track, but I feel like that game is just like there's so many aspects you can look into it. And when I think of that year's Gorman team, I think about Micah Bowens all year. It was like, oh, they're led by a quarterback that's going to Penn State. And I just the current state of college athletics, everyone moves so much. I didn't realize he wasn't there anymore. And hey, but he's getting paid by the Wing Company. And I hope all the local athletes, and we've got some really good ones this year, I hope they cash in on those NIL deals if possible.
Yeah, totally agree. Get paid while you can, my man.
Yeah, for sure. Any other final thoughts, big storylines I missed coming out of last week?
Gosh, I feel like, well, when we do the picks, if there is something, I'll bring it up.
Okay. All right. Perfect. So we will jump into the picks right now. We'll see. Have you had any more undefeated weeks since we last talked?
So 2 weeks ago, I was like 12-5, and I'm working on my record right now. I just got done with the picks for this week, and I still got to do some calculations.
All right. Well, let's start with down in the 3A. We haven't given the 3A much love today, but Valley and Rancho.
Yeah, so Thursday Night Lights game, which I think is immensely cool to get, you know, two of the historic Las Vegas area schools on TV. But those Rancho Rams, Case, had a very great effort last week, beat El Dorado. So 2 weeks ago, El Dorado at home knocks off Boulder City 14-13. And couldn't make it 2 weeks in a row because Jamal Green and those Rancho Rams just ran the rock. Got a lot of good penetration on the line. They beat Eldo 34-7. And if I'm Leon Evans, I just keep running the rock. And I think the Rams outrun the Vikings.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I can't disagree. I knew there was better days ahead for the Rams, and I know Coach Evans over there is fired up, so I'm going to stick with you on that one. Is that a rivalry game? It seems like it would be. They've been there for a long time, somewhat close.
Because of the way the schools were situated, when back in the day, the old Las Vegas was located in downtown, and so Vegas and Rancho had the rivalry. And Shap and Valley, which were kind of close to each other, had a rivalry.
Gotcha. I always like to get my history lessons. I'm still learning after all these years, so good to know. And this next game is certainly a rivalry. Battle of the Bulls, Arborview, and Legacy. Legacy has got them at least once, maybe twice in recent years. Looks like that's going to be tough to do this year.
Yeah, Arborview. Obviously, we didn't get to see them last week against Foothill, which was a show-me game. But I think Arborview is going to beat Legacy. But I will tell you, I like a rivalry game, and I like them to be close for a while. So I think that Arbor wins in the teens only, not more than the teens.
Yeah, I might say by at least 20. I don't know. Maybe I should be worried if they're not going to have some kids playing since they didn't play last week. I don't know if it was their side or Foothill.
Yeah, neither do I, so it could be anybody, yeah.
I still could be setting myself up to fail, but I like this Arborview team. I know they've been a little up and down, but I'm going to say Legacy falls victim to their second straight lopsided loss. I've got the Aggies. I guess the whole week we can just litigate whether it's a rivalry or not. I know that's another favorite topic of yours for this game, Palo Verde and Bishop Gorman.
Yeah, Case, I don't know if you saw me on Twitter yesterday, but I put up a photo of that 2010 Gorman Palo game that we went to.
One of your favorite games ever, I feel like.
That was one of my best moments. I love that game. It was just so crowded and the game was so close, and I still remember Palo basically, it's scoreless almost at halftime, and Palo goes to kick a field goal, but for some reason they took a timeout before they kicked the field goal, and by taking the timeout, they stopped the clock, and that allowed basically Gorman to get a possession right before halftime, and it was, I remember this as if it was yesterday, it was Anu Solomon long to Ryan Smith. Smitty caught the ball into the end zone, 7-3 Gorman at the half. And for all intents and purposes, the rivalry was over on that throw because Gorman proceeded to win in a blowout, and none of the games were ever close.
Yeah, the thing I remember that I think what set up the field goal was Palo had some really good edge rusher. We probably just said defensive end back then. I think he had an interception and took it down the field. I remember Palo's offense couldn't get much going, but their defense kept him in it for a while.
Daniel, I think it was Daniel Gockin, CK.
Okay, was that who it was? Did he go to Navy or something?
He did. I don't know if he ended up going to Navy. He was committed to Navy. I don't know if he actually played, though. I got to Google that.
Gotcha. All right, well, history and rivalries, that's what we're all about today. But I think we both have Gorman big this time around. Safe assumption?
Yes, sir.
All right. This one could be interesting. We've sung both teams' praises, Las Vegas and Durango. It seems like Vegas has a little more explosive offense, but Durango has won some low-scoring games, has pulled some out. Any chance of an upset here?
So I'm picking Vegas. Case, I hate to pick a team after a running clock loss because I feel that the player's psyche is, okay, we're not that good, we're not going to win state, and we're just going through the motions. So, of course, Desert Pines last week laid it to Vegas. How will Vegas respond against a Durango team they should beat? But I got the Wildcats. I'm going with the East Side guys.
Yeah, you know, it's probably my usual spot should be picking against them here, but I just don't see it. I've been really impressed with their scores and what seems to be a really good offense. And defensively, they're keeping people off the board as well. Maybe Durango muddies this up and it's closer than we would have thought a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to say Vegas ekes one out. Green Valley and Centennial. I always talked about how much I liked this game. I think this was the first ever game I covered in Las Vegas was Green Valley up at Centennial. Seems like they usually have really good games. This year might be the exception, though. It seems like the Gators are quite a bit better.
Yeah, and Centennial is struggling. It's having a down year to say the least. So this is a pretty clear-cut Green Valley Gators.
Yep, clear cut. I agree. Green Valley for both of us. How about Western and Virgin Valley?
Yeah, there's another one God bless Western, and I put this in the pick, CK. Those kids are playing damn hard, man, and they need to get some credit. I know it hasn't resulted in exactly a lot of wins, but they are definitely playing hard, and they're going to go up and give Virgin Valley a fight, and Virgin Valley and Gavin Brown are going to win and win convincingly.
Yeah, you got to say Virgin, but yeah, shout out to Western. If you want to get real frisky, maybe you could call for an upset here. How about Clark and Moapa Valley? When the Chargers have been on, and they've been on just about every game, they've blown some people out. Could they give the Pirates some trouble?
So, I'm firmly convinced that Clark has got a few players, like I think Deion Johnson, for example, who could give and potentially will give Moapa Valley fits. Because when we talked about the new 3A, which brought teams like, even though Clark's in the 4A, but when we talked about the new 3A, we talked about how, like, a Valley or Rancho might have a kid that's got some athleticism, some speed, and you necessarily don't see that at Moapa Valley, right? They're more great system, well coached, kids that know how to run the plays. And then you get a guy like Deion Williams from Clark or a guy like Labon Mekashi from Clark. And how's that speed and athleticism going to translate when they get and play Moapa Valley? Now, here's the one bad thing for Clark. They got to take that bus an hour and a half into Overton. That's a tough cross to bear. And with Moapa just being so organized and disciplined, if this game was in Vegas on a neutral, like if this game was at Clark, I'm thinking it's a touchdown to 10-point spread. But having it in Overton, I just think that's too much for Clark to overcome.
Yeah, I totally agree. Maybe I more well entertain taking Clark if this game was at Clark, but I think it's a big home field advantage in Overton. I think that Moapa Valley will take care of business. So can't not much disagreement, but what can you do? How about the Desert Pines and Faith Lutheran?
Yeah, so speaking of games from yesteryear, I remember definitely some Desert Pines Faith Lutheran playoff games. I remember one in particular when Anthony Smith was a junior for Faith, the D end, and John Malachin was a senior for Faith, and he was going to Boise, and Anthony Smith dominated him, had him for lunch, Case. And Anthony Smith was like the premier guy. He ends up tearing his ACL, really isn't the same. Goes to Colorado State, plays a handful of years, nothing too significant. And Melanchthon is like captain at Boise State and was on the Buccaneers practice squad last year when they won the Super Bowl. So talk about a blast from the past, a really good playoff game. And that year, Desert Pines kind of upset Faith Lutheran because remember, Faith was coming off its 3A state championship. Either way, long history lesson. I got Desert Pines.
Yeah, I had forgotten about a lot of that, but they did have some cool games back then. And at the end of his Boise State career, I think I wrote a decent sized story on John Molchan. So if you want more history, look back on that. I think at the beginning of the year, maybe even I looked at this as a potential upset spot. I was really high on Faith Lutheran. I thought they were going to have a great year. Looks like they're still maybe a year or two away. under Coach Samford. I just think Desert Pines, it's hard to disagree with anything they've done so far. So I no longer think this will be that close. I think the Jaguars get it done.
All right, don't disagree.
All right, Foothill back in action also, and they'll be playing against Canyon Springs.
Yeah, so again, we don't know who exactly Foothill is going to have in the lineup, but, you know, if Kendrick is playing, I've got the Falcons. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Foothill as well, but this is another one I think could be close. I think there's some of these where you could make a case for the upset, but Foothill's been quite good this year. I'm going with the Falcons. How about Pahrump Valley and El Dorado?
Yeah, here's another game where – so Pahrump has won two in a row. El Dorado had its upset of Boulder City 2 weeks ago and then got ran over by Rancho. Well, what does Pahrump do? They run the ball. Even though this game is in Vegas, I'm going to go against one of my theories, and I'm going to take the Trojans of Pahrump, but it's going to be close.
I'm itching to pick against you on one of these. I'm going to go with the Sun Devils. Why not? If this was in Pahrump, it would be a different story. I guess that's repeating what you said, but I feel like Pahrump over the years, they win these games in Pahrump and lose them in Vegas, do they not?
Yeah, that's basically their MO, correct.
Yeah, so El Dorado coming off of a 1-point win over Boulder City. They got Jaylon Rockmore running the rock. I'm going with El Dorado here in an upset, I guess a slight upset. How about Del Sol and Basic?
Yeah, so Basic, hearts out to them. They basically lost a handful of games. They've lost the last 2 weeks basically on – you know, kicks, or I mean literally kicks. So I think though they cruise through Del Sol. They're back on track. Give me the Wolfpack.
Yeah, I think Del Sol's probably the weak link of this Mountain League. It's a tough league, but with Durango, Vegas, Clark, and Basic, I don't see them getting a conference or a league win. I'm gonna go with Basic, Cheyenne, and Desert Oasis.
Desert Oasis.
Yeah, Stott throws for another 17 touchdowns or whatever he does. I don't think Cheyenne's going to have the pass defense to stop him. Shadow Ridge looks to bounce back against Mojave. I've got Shadow Ridge.
I agree. I think that this is pretty clear cut. Yeah. Run the rock, get the dub.
Yeah, we're getting into the easy section here. Bonanza and Sierra Vista. I think Sierra Vista keeps it rolling. Season turnaround, third straight win. I think they beat Bonanza.
I agree with you.
That's a rivalry, isn't it?
No, it was Spring Valley and Bonanza. That was last week, the banner game. Went down to – it was a close game, and Spring Valley won.
Spring Valley's got the banner. I feel like there's more years than not, that's a close game. So shout out to that rivalry.
Yeah, love that. There was Marcus Till gave an all-time epic quote after the game. Let me read it to you here real fast.
Oh, yeah. I love to hear from Coach Till.
Yeah, that guy's great on game night, by the way. He's he might make a good announcer on TV. We told the kids at the beginning of the week, the banner doesn't look like much, but there's a whole bunch of meaning behind it, and we don't want to give it up.
I like it.
I do too.
If you just are an outsider watching that game, you'd just be like, what the heck is this banner? Like, or
yeah, these kids are jumping around for like this 4x6 banner that's all tired and worn. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm with him. I like that quote. This segues perfectly. Could Spring Valley catch Coronado off guard? A little bit of a letdown after their big win against Shadow Ridge. Spring Valley's been able to defend just about everyone. Could they do the same to the Cougars?
They might be able to slow the Cougars down, but they're not going to be able to score. Spring Valley's is just struggled mightily moving the ball and putting points on the board, and eventually the deal wear out. Coronado, I think they're peaking potentially at the right time.
Yeah, I got to go with Coronado. I think this will be close, though. Coronado's had some outages where they can't really get going, and Spring Valley's defense we know is good. So I'm going to say close game, but Coronado wins. Silverado and Sunrise Mountain.
Yeah. The one thing, if I'm Silverado, is this schedule with Shap and Cimarron and now Sunrise Mountain, we're talking, or Cheyenne, I think was even mixed in there. We're talking a month's worth of games with really no competition. Are they going to be able to turn it back on when they need to and they face a team that has been getting better week by week because they've been facing people? Could Silverado, you know, start to believe they're as good as they are against Sunrise Mountain, right? You know, because Donovan Pella could beat Sunrise Mountain, let's be honest, with one leg. Are they going to get too confident because they're not playing anybody or not getting enough reps? It's kind of like, and Coach O would hate this comparison, but like when Gorman was rolling back in the day with the Sanchez's and Tony would have to play his ones in the second half just so they could be used and conditioned to playing longer than a quarter and a half. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I love that this is 2 weeks in a row where you've compared Silverado to Gorman in this similar way and said Ostolaza will hate this.
Well, he's openly not a big Gorman fan.
Yeah.
And everybody, it's not like I'm like outing the guy or anything. I think it could be on his tombstone when he dies.
All right. Well, yeah, the long story short, though, I think he's an experienced coach. He's been around a while. I think he's going to know how to manage things and how to have his team, you know, best prepared for what still lies ahead of them, all their goals. And yeah, they're going to beat up on Sunrise Mountain this week. And the final game, not surprised you saved your Cowboys for last. They're playing Cimarron, who has really struggled this year. Any chance your Cowboys get an unexpected one and take down the big school Cimarron Memorial?
Well, 2 weeks ago, Shap had like a 29-7 lead on Desert Oasis because Dio had like 20 kids out with COVID. And then they stormed back the win. So I don't know what the psyche is of my Cowboys, but you know what? If I'm going to lose a game, I might as well lose by picking somebody I like. So I got the Cowboys.
All right, makes sense. I kept thinking Cimarron was in the 5A. They're actually not, though, right?
Yeah, they're in the 4A. I didn't want to correct you in front of our friends, Case, but yeah.
I've done that twice. For some reason, I have them in my mind as a 5A school.
When you got here from college, it was like Cimarron and Paolo battling back and forth. And then Cimarron basically went from competing with Paolo to being closer to Western.
Okay, gotcha. I was so flustered by that. I even missed your pick. Who'd you end up picking?
My Cowboys. Come on.
You did? All right. Great. We can be on the opposite side of another one. I'm going to go with Cimarron, who apparently I think should be a 5A school. And I don't know. They haven't been absolutely terrible. They've stayed in some games. I don't know. I think it's a rebuilding year for your Cowboys. I got Cimarron.
Yeah, rebuilding decade, bud.
They made the state championship or the state semis or something a few years ago, right?
Yeah, that's true.
They had a pretty good decade. I would say all things considered, if you want to go back to the time I got here, I mean, they were really struggling when I got here, and they had a period of success.
I mean, it might be the best decade of all time if you look at it, you know.
Not if you're talking boys soccer, though.
No, boys soccer, I mean, come on. We're comparing apples to oranges here, buddy. So
yeah, nothing can compare for the 90s Brewers day. But, yeah, that'll do it for the games.
Yeah, I went to I think it was last Tuesday or two Tuesdays ago. I was back in the old neighborhood, and because of the ref shortages and the bus shortages, they got to play a few games at night. So the Shap girls soccer team had a night game on the football field. I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll pop in before I go home and eat dinner. And Case, I'm telling you right now, bro, that might be – God bless those girls on both teams. That is completely recreation soccer. It's literally like what I see at – Heritage Park when my kids are playing U10. Well, I mean, I'm just, oh God, it was painful. So God, and that's the beauty of prep sports, man. And why we missed it so much during the pandemic is we spend all this time talking about, you know, Jake Taylor, who's going to Oklahoma, or this kid who is going here. But that's just a small percentage of the kids. It's the other 98% of the kids who are using high school sports to be part of their school community. And that's what I think the whole purpose of prep sports now should be, is talking about these kids. So I was glad I got to go out there and see those cowgirls.
For sure. Yeah. It's about the experience, and glad they're having it at, it seems like, a bunch of different sports this year. Everything's going right. I know we've had some complications with officials and buses and whatnot, but we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
All right. So shout out to everyone. We're inclusive today on Prep Sports Now. Keep up the fight. Keep working on Prep Sports. This has been Prep Sports Now. For Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening.